$1 billion last year. Senator Mondale votes against every new weapons system and votes to cut defense time after time after time. And yes, we believe in catastrophic illness. We believe in Social Security increases for our senior citizens. We believe in cutting inflation. We believe that's the cruelest tax of all. I say we have an outstanding president. I say the peanut is the easiest nut to crack. And if you think about it, and think about America being the greatest country on earth, and the fact that America deserves the greatest leadership we can muster, then if you'll work just 5 more days for President Ford, he'll work 4 more years for you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he's got it figured out.
And you like to get Daniel in his 2 years.
Okay, is everybody ready?
Is there one ready?
Senator, the questions will come from here.
I'll do it all, Senator.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Governor Carter apparently yesterday in Philadelphia said if he's elected, a tax cut is almost inevitable. Could you respond?
Well, not without having the particulars. I don't know whose tax he's going to cut. He's talking about increasing taxes for middle-income Americans. He's also talking about taxing all income the same, all income be treated the same for tax purposes. So without more specifics, it's rather hard to comment.
Do you think the programs he's outlined will allow a tax cut?
I don't see how. He must have a sharper pencil than anybody I've ever heard of. Talking about over $100 billion for just 5 programs. Now, someone has to pay for these, or he doesn't implement the programs. One way or the other, he may be in difficulty because he can't say one day he's going to have a new program, the next day he's going to lower taxes, and not tell the American people how he intends to do either.
At the Williamsburg debate, there was some talk about sending the campaign back to the high road. And yesterday, Governor Carter said that he had searched the country over for Walter Mondale, and President Ford picked Bob Dole. Do you see that as a slur on yourself personally and back in this low road in politics?
Well, I think Governor Carter probably has that in mind. That's how he sets up these things. He talks about how he may be attacked, and then he starts attacking the president. He talks about the high road, then he makes some inference about my selection. I've known President Ford for 16 years. He barely knew Senator Mondale, so it gets down to how much he really knew about the man or how much they knew about each other. It wasn't very much, but we haven't condemned the choice of Mondale. We just say it indicates their very liberal philosophy. We don't believe the American people want that philosophy.
You are apparently not too impressed with Governor Carter's energy policy. I believe you indicated they bankrupt New Mexico.
Well, he's talking about a number of things. If you look at the divestiture plans, you look at his plans for development of any energy policy, again, they're not there. Then I look at Walter Mondale's voting record in the Senate where he votes to take away every incentive. He's against deregulation. It just seems to me if this is the Carter-Mondale ticket, it's not going to be very helpful in this state.
Real briefly, can you explain to me how you're going to campaign in light of Mr. Gallup's and Mr. Harris's results yesterday that apathy will benefit the Republican Party?
I campaign just as hard as I can for the next 4 days. We want people to respond. I've always gotten up and said, let's go out and participate. Now, hopefully I'm talking to Republicans or Democrats or independents who share our philosophy. We don't want any apathy on that side of the ledger. If Carter can't stir up the enthusiasm with his voters, that's his problem. We hope ours are very enthusiastic and think they may be.
Senator, thank you.
I want to add there that the president called me at 5 this morning.
What did he say?
Well, I thought he might want to get up. Oh, we want to know how he's doing. 5 in the morning, that's
Okay, let's start over. Let's get our next crew out.
Okay, I just need one. I'm going to ask the same questions we already asked. That's going to be.
Roger, what's the shadow?
Yeah, no. Governor Carter has been quoted as saying it's inevitable that the country will face a tax cut if he goes into office and his economic policies are undertaken. What's your reaction?
I think a little unrealistic unless he's going to change his whole program. He's been talking about tax increases and bigger spending programs. Now the race is very, very tight, so he tosses out a tax cut. The same Democrat Congress refused to cut taxes for President Ford. Just seems to me that it's sort of desperation politics on the part of Governor Carter. He's in a tight race. We have the momentum that we're going to win the election, and he can talk about a tax cut. I think he also ought to explain to the American people about his programs for tax increases he's talking about.
You say it's desperation politics, but the polls indicate that he, in fact, has a lead, as small as it may be.
Well, that's a far cry from the 35-point lead he had just a few weeks ago. And he sees the erosion, and it's around. The erosion is everywhere. He must be just a little edgy today.
I heard you say a while ago that the president called you at 5 o'clock this morning. Did he have any words of wisdom or pearls of advice for today and tomorrow, the next two or three days?
Well, I told him where I was. I think he knew where I was, and I sort of hinted it was early. It was early where he was. It was only 7 o'clock there, but that made it 5 o'clock here. He was just very enthusiastic. He really felt that the campaign was coming along. He said, just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. And see you next week. But the news was good. He mentioned one state, the state of Iowa, where we've been behind for some time. He asked where my wife, Elizabeth, was, and I said she was down in sunny Florida, and been working. So we just had a little visit, and said to tell Governor Regalado today, I'll be seeing Governor Regalado soon.
Senator, do these visits such as this to New Mexico do any good for the local candidates? I know people were speculating a bit about here a couple of days ago. I'm sure you'll say yes, but what do they do?
Well, I'll say I don't know. We hope they do a lot of good. We try to get people together. I'm not under any illusion that somebody comes in from out of state and stands up and says that Jack Schmidt would be a great senator. He would be a great senator. But I'm not so certain that I sway anyone, but you have another outstanding senator, Pete Domenici, and he stands up and says that it really means something. But I'll do it either way, whichever helps the Republican the most, because we need some help in the Congress. We need some help up and down the line if we're going to build a party.
Okay. Good cup of COVID.
I read about him, known about him, but through the Apollo program.
I noticed you hadn't talked too much about him.
I think sometimes it's sort of a, if you don't know the person, it sort of has sort of a hollow ring when you come in and jump up and down. He is an outstanding guy. He wouldn't be running for the Senate. He wouldn't have the support he has. He wouldn't be ahead in the campaign. I know his background. I know it's sound. But if you don't have a personal relationship, our best support is to suggest we need men like that in the Congress.
Okay, let's go. Let's.
National Security Council.
Henry's listening.
Okay. Senator, for 22 years, there have been price controls on natural gas, and this added to the three-tiered pricing system of the Federal Power Commission has artificially depressed the oil industry in this area, in fact, possibly around the United States. Would the Ford administration support total deregulation of natural gas prices?
Oh, yes, we have, and we will, and we'll continue to do so. It seems to me that with President Ford's re-elected because he was really elected by the Congress next Tuesday. We're going to have some additional seats in the Senate and in the House of Representatives. We're going to accomplish deregulation. And again, I think the viewer ought to understand not just so somebody can make more profit, because somebody can make a profit, and so you have the incentive. It doesn't do much good to be for lower price if you don't have the energy. If it's zero outside or 30 below, now that's the Carter-Mondale philosophy.
Also, Senator, Canada has recently announced the nationalization of its potash industry, a move some observers feel is going to increase their productivity and wreck the potash industry in the United States, particularly in the Carlsbad area. If you and President Ford are elected, would you impose controls of some sort, such as a restriction on Canadian imports of potash?
I think it's something you'd want to consider. I'm very frank to admit I'm not totally conversant with that issue, but if it affects a domestic industry, then I think we have to take a look at it. After all, America ought to come first, where we don't disrupt the relations with some other country or trade relations with some other country.
In the present senatorial race in New Mexico, the basic theme of the incumbent is there is no substitute for seniority. You are a senator. Would you go on record as saying that is a truthful statement?
Well, I don't want to get into whether it's truthful or untruthful, but I think in the United States Senate, ability really counts. Seniority may have some merit, but it's sort of a thing of the past in the Senate. There have been a lot of changes in the Senate. If you have the ability, in fact, sometimes newer members like Pete Domenici can make a name for themselves because they're energetic and they work hard. I really don't believe that seniority is a factor it was even 10, 15 years ago.
Would community development funds have been substituted for an urban renewal, ostensibly to cut red tape? Apparently that goal has not been reached. It's apparently gone back the other way. Priorities change from year to year. Would you see the Ford administration initiating a new program, or would they support revenue sharing?
Well, we strongly support revenue sharing. President Ford, in fact, I think, if you check the record carefully, this year we have revenue sharing continue because of President Ford's personal efforts to get the Congress to do something and come together on the Senate and the House bills. Community development funds, my understanding, and I know there are probably exceptional cases, that, and I think I may have heard President Ford allude to the fact that we've cut out so many steps of red tape that maybe there's still some there. I assume we need to look at it again because there's always too much government.
Thank you, Senator.
Well, thank you very much, Pete. I appreciate it very much, and I just telling the press, the president called me this morning. He was in Philadelphia, and he left at 7 o'clock, so you know what time it was here. It's 5 o'clock, and you wonder what I was doing, and I told him I had been sleeping. But I can say one thing. He's very enthusiastic. He really believes we're going to put it all together. He really believes the American people are beginning to understand the difference between the ultra-liberal ticket of Carter and Mondale and the promises and hopes of President Ford. And I think that's going to be the real difference in the next 4 or 5 days. And I told him, maybe I better check with this audience, are we going to carry the state of New Mexico? I told him we were anyway, so I told him I'd talked with Pete Domenici and the new senator from this state, Jack Schmidt, and others, and things were looking up. I've been reading about all the things back and forth about the Apollo flights and how they started, and I'm still pleased to be here. But I'm not going to get into that.
Sam and Ham are complaining.
Oh, Sam's complaining?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I also want to say a word about Don Truby. Don and I have both served for nearly 2 years on the White House conference on the handicap. And as you know, Don is one of those rare individuals who has devoted his life to others and those who need help. And that's why I think, and that's why I think I know, he'll make a first-class congressman for New Mexico, because his heart's in the right place, and what's more and more important, his head's in the right place, because he's trained as a problem solver. He knows that if government's going to do its job, it's going to have to cut back on the bureaucracy and devote more of its time and more of its fund to solving problems, not only the problems of the handicapped, but also the problems of all other Americans. And I commend Don for his great efforts in dealing with handicapped Americans. There are a great many handicapped Americans, and they want to get back into the mainstream of American life. They have every right. They have the potential. They have the ability. And I applaud Don for his efforts on their behalf, and I'm certain they're doing what they can in their way to help him in his election. Now, I'm here with a good friend of mine, Pete Domenici, and I don't want to spend time I should be talking about President Ford, but I want to underscore, as certainly you know, whether you're Democrats or Republicans or independents, you have one of the finest senators in the United States Senate, and I say that with all sincerity. And he's not... And I can say that and mean it without somebody saying, well, he's running, because he's not running this year, and I mean it. I'll be glad to say it when he is running, too, but... I want to talk just a few minutes about... the home stretch, and that's what we're in. We're in the home stretch. We've had a long campaign. It's been fast. We've traveled many, many miles. We've made many, many statements. In fact, I learned we've made some statements we didn't remember we made, but we've made a lot of statements. I think we've indicated to the American people there's a great difference in the philosophies of the Ford-Dole ticket and the Carter-Mondale ticket. I think we've appealed to Democrats and Republicans and independents alike, the Ford-Dole ticket, that is. And I think we'll continue that appeal. And as the President said this morning, we've got the momentum. It's moving just right. He cited one particular state where it was particularly good. And he indicated to me that if we just kept doing what we're doing, it's going to come out right for America next Tuesday. And that's why I'm here, and that's why we need your help, and that's why the state of New Mexico is so important. Important, yes, to President Ford. I've already figured out if he makes it, I'm going to make it, so don't worry about me. But it goes beyond that. It's not just we're trying to sustain someone in office because his name is Ford or because he's a Republican. We don't attract Democrats in that fashion. We don't attract independents in that fashion. We attract those who are not staunch Republicans because of a philosophy, because of the character of the man. And I just say that any way you cut it, whether you're concerned about energy policy, whether you're concerned about gun control, whether you're concerned about prayer in school, we're on the right side of those issues, and they're on the wrong side of those issues. That's not pineapple juice, but it's... and I know I'm in peanut country, so I'm not going to tell people here that pineapple juice is better for you than peanut butter. But... it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth. That is one advantage. The Democrat Party has not been honest with the American people about energy. And the Carter-Mondale ticket is carrying on the tradition. The Democrats, as people in this audience know, have consistently opposed President Ford's energy program, a practical, sensible program to bring about the increases in domestic production of energy, which alone can reduce our dependence on imported oil. And as you know, our dependence has gone up and up and up because Congress has failed to do anything. And over the long term, there are many potential solutions to our energy problems. New Mexico is a leader in solar energy, one of the most promising new sources. And President Ford has substantially increased funding for this ultimate renewable source. What about the short term? What about between now and 1985? Well, between now and 1985 at the earliest, the fact is that there are only about four sources of energy which can contribute significantly to energy independence. Oil, natural gas, coal, and nuclear power. Beyond that, long term, yes, something else. And President Ford has proposed a program to stimulate production in all these areas, but the Democrats have fought it at every turn. When the President sought to deregulate new oil and natural gas prices, the Democrats would only permit a gradual deregulation of oil and no deregulation of natural gas at all. When the President sought to encourage the use of coal, the Democrats fought it. When the President proposed a program to encourage private investment in nuclear fuel enrichment, the only way to increase our supplies without massive government expenditure, the Democrat Congress refused to pass it. And now, Mr. Carter, after supporting some of these disastrous negative attitudes on the part of Democrats, he stands up and has the effrontery to say that we have no energy policy, and he blames President Ford for more imports, and he blames President Ford for no energy policy, no energy program. And I think he should tell the American people. He should tell the American people that an energy policy, as in tax reform, big and intrusive government, and the failure of our welfare system, the fault lies with the Liberal Democrat Congress, which designed the programs and wrote the laws which he now condemns. And as Pete Domenici said, if we want to change in this country, we ought to change the Liberal Congress. They've been in control for 22 straight years. 22 straight years. Now, the only way we're going to increase our energy supplies is to take some action on the President's proposals. Between now and 1985, our domestic oil production can be increased from 8 million barrels a day to over 12 million barrels. But not if we follow the Democrat policies, which deny incentives to those who explore, develop, and refine. By 1985, natural gas production can be increased by 10% over today's levels, but not if price controls are maintained. By 1985, coal production can be increased from 600 million tons this year to over 1 billion tons. But this will never happen as long as the Democrat Congress threatens to overregulate the mining and use of coal. And the use of nuclear power for the generation of electricity can be increased from 9% of all electricity generated today to 25% by 1985. But again, this will never occur as long as the Democrat Congress refuses to admit private sector investment into the production of nuclear fuel. And then we come to breaking up the oil companies, known as divestiture, which the Liberal Democrats and Mr. Carter support and which Senator Mondale has voted for. Now, I can't find any persuasive evidence, none, that this proposal would reduce consumer prices for oil and gasoline or do anything to increase our energy independence. And there is a good deal of evidence to the contrary, as well as evidence that divestiture will cost jobs and losses to the stockholders of these companies. Now, Mr. Carter knows this, yet he supports breaking up oil companies because he thinks he can capitalize politically on this issue, the way he might capitalize, the way he hopes to capitalize on his suggestions that massive spending programs can be funded by taxing the rich. I just say that as far as energy is concerned, they don't have a program. And the election of the Carter-Mondale ticket would ensure that the short-sighted energy policy of the Democrat Congress are continued on and on and on. And I think our result would be more dependence, more imported oil, and then what happens in the case of some embargo? And I can recite the voting record of Senator Mondale. He wants to take away all your depletion allowance, even for the independents, roll back the prices, not deregulate anything, and then tell the American consumers that he's fighting for them. Well, if it's 30 below zero and 10 below zero, and you can't get the energy, does it make much difference what the price is at that point? If you're cold, you're cold. And the best way to solve the energy crisis is to put Carter and Mondale out in the cold next Tuesday. I want to talk just 1 or 2 minutes to the mothers and grandmothers in this audience and even the young men. There are a lot of young men. I saw many in uniform, and one said he had voted for me absentees from New Hampshire, so I felt good about that. And they're outstanding young men. We have great respect for them. But I also would say, and I told this to the president this morning at 5 a.m., that I've been talking about peace and strength and moral leadership. I really believe America is strong because of the people. As I said in my little stand-up debate with Senator Mondale down in Houston a few days ago, we do have faith in the American people. We don't look at your party labels. We look at the American background, the American vision, the fact that most Americans want to work. Most Americans are working, 88 million, the highest ever. We look to the fact that inflation has been cut in half, and we look to the fact that America's at peace and the world's at peace. And I say to Governor Carter and those who support him and go around saying, we want a leader for a change, is there anything wrong about being at peace in the world? Is there anything wrong in knowing that your son or your grandson is not being drafted, does not have to leave his job, does not have to leave his education, is not shipped off to some far-off land to fight someone else's war? Is there anything wrong that President Ford has insisted on a strong national defense? I don't think so, and I don't believe the American people think so. I say to Governor Carter, who stood up before the Legion Convention in Seattle, Washington, and said he believed in a blanket pardon and against amnesty, I say there'll be no blanket pardon or blanket amnesty or blanket clemency under the Ford Dole administration. And I think it's time we got our priorities straight. I'm still more concerned about the missing in action in Southeast Asia, those forgotten Americans, than I am about those who forgot America and left America in a time of need. And I don't see any need, and President Ford doesn't see any need for gun control, but they see a need for gun control. Do you want gun control in this area of New Mexico? I don't think so. I don't see anything wrong, and President Ford doesn't see anything wrong with prayer in school. Do you see anything wrong with prayer in school? And I just say we're appealing to Democrats and Republicans and independents. That's what it's all about. It's not a matter of party label. It's a matter of philosophy. In which direction do we head? And it just seems to me that the choice is very, very clear. It's very, very clear whether we talk about tax reform, whether we talk about our economy, whether we talk about senior citizens, you're going to find President Ford standing up for America, standing up for Americans. And so I'm proud to be here. I hope someone asked me if it really helped for me to come to Roswell. I said, well, it snowed, you need the snow, and I'll take credit for that. Well, you don't need, well. For those who need the snow, I'll take credit. For those who don't need the snow, since Domenici's not running, we'll give him credit for that. But I would only say finally that I've been on the agriculture committees for 16 years, 8 in the House, 8 in the Senate. I understand agriculture. The president said that I will have a role to play in agriculture, particularly in the export area. I also come from the oil patch in Kansas. In fact, I met some Kansans coming in here who used to live in Russell and other places in Kansas, and I assume they may be here in that same business. So I really believe I understand the problems of this area. I believe I have the right philosophy for America, a moderate to conservative philosophy, concerned about Americans, concerned about big spending programs and more government control. And I just happen to believe that we have the right ticket, and the right ticket for the best place to go and the best direction for America. And so I just ask you as firmly as I can, as earnestly as I can, and as kindly as I can, let's work for Jerry Ford for 4 more days or 5 more days, and he'll work for us for 4 more years. Thank you very much.